Episode 387, October 15th, 2018.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, Rob and Joe show with Robin. Joe Robinson, Katie Push, Marcus Serta, and a drunk Robbie Robinson.
Yeah, what's going on with you? Robbie said he was stressed. Actually, if you listen to the bonus show, I guess you'll... I'm going to give one thing away from the bonus show. Robbie, you weren't in here, Katie, but Robbie told us why he was stressed. Do you want to take a guess?
Do I want to know?
Well, yeah, it's nothing that's going to offend you.
It's not about you.
Were you late?
No, it's not me, although that is a check. I'll just go ahead and reveal. He says his TiVo's all backed up, and he's got a lot of shows that he's been wanting to watch, and he hasn't been able to watch them.
Oh, Robbie said that you said that the alcohol has caught you are now no longer stressed, you're feeling better, and that this is how alcoholics are born.
Of course.
This is a different movie than A Star is Born. A Drunk is Born, the Robbie Robinson story.
Real quick, Gramps, he makes me crazy. So... there's somebody in chat named Brittany Blaze. Clearly not a woman. It's somebody who's referencing the wrestler that we talked about.
Let him hit on that man.
2 weeks ago. He's hitting on the man immediately. So Brittany Blaze says, hello in chat. And Gramps goes, hey, hi, Brittany. Immediately he's coming after.
We have some Gramps stuff this week. Some good stuff. And some things that we have to speculate on. We're not sure exactly what's going on with Gramps. And maybe he can shed some light. We have breaking dog news for you two. I guess if you've been paying attention, you guys have been trying to get a dog, and you keep getting rejected. I'm guessing it's probably you, Joe. They deem Katie a very acceptable owner.
I think they're reading an application. I don't think they're choosing me.
You're also setting it up as if we've gotten a dog, which we haven't.
Gotcha.
Well, no, we've said we've had dogs, which we have.
So in the application, you're first time dog owners as a couple. Is that what?
Yeah,
what
I mean,
said?
We say that we've had dogs. We just certain breed experience. I guess we haven't had. I don't know.
Well, anyway, you had decided to give up the dog search until after your wedding in the spring.
Yes, and a couple days after we decided this, there were two English bulldog puppies running around across the street. And
right here in your neighborhood.
Right across the street. And I ran inside and told Joe, because these are Joe's favorite dog breed.
English bulldog is my favorite.
So I played with him a little bit. The guy that was standing there was his daughter. And I said, oh, do you mind if I pet the dogs? And he's like, no, sure. So I pet him. I went back inside. And then the next day, we saw a lady holding one down the street. So Joe...
first of all, Katie goes, don't go over there. Don't go over there.
Yeah, I didn't want him to go over. But of course, he creepily walked a block down the street.
Creepily.
First of all, it's not creepily. They're neighbors.
And approached this woman.
Like Gramps would to a woman.
And I drove up and I started to pet this adorable dog. And she said that she bought it from the breeder who lives three houses down.
Which is directly across from us. Right across the street. They breed English bulldogs.
Your neighbor this whole time.
Correct.
You could throw a bone at.
Correct.
So I'm going to leave it up to Katie. She's going to be better at the approach, and she's going to... Now, what I want Katie to do is not just ingratiate herself to these people, but, you know, build some sort of friendship and or a bond with these people.
Yeah, so we're not going to get anyone from the litter they have right now. We're going to get one from the next litter.
Okay.
So we're going to be able to kind of, we get the first pick of the litter, and we'll be able to develop a friendship. And
but they're expensive. We're trying to.
They're expensive. Yeah,
we want to try to. You know, we want them to. We're like, we live across the street from you. So,
but I mean, you can't get any better than having the mother right across the street. It has a brother three houses down. So it's just a perfect little scenario.
It sounds like it's worked out perfectly. But
all
I
the
feel
rescue
like,
haters are going to attack us.
Yes, we tried. We tried.
This feels like. Now, if it goes poorly, it definitely feels like, it feels like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
Oh, they could. You're right. It could go bad.
Yes. And you get people mad at you for using the breeder. At the end of the day, you don't get the dog and you get the hated on.
No, I was thinking maybe there was more something that was wrong with the dog and then the people we bought it from are, you know, feet away.
You see some your neighbor in the street and you just make some flippant comment that upset them. And that
Which
and
is
you're
very
trying to
possible.
Figure out why they suddenly they're not going to give you the dog, sell you the dog. It feels very Curb Seinfeld.
Oh no, there's a legit shot that we could have a problem with. As I told you, our neighbor right next to us, when she approached me, she's like, "Oh, I hate that crap on 98 Rock." I told that
story. Yeah, have you made up with her? Have you made nice with her?
No, but it does appear not made up. There's no fight.
We avoid her.
No, but the real issue is she appears to be becoming fast friends with the person on the other side of her.
Yes.
So maybe there's going to be some sort of
alliance.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think most of your neighbors know everybody?
No, I don't think that.
No.
Okay. So you're not on
the outside.
There's
pods. There's little groups. We're not really involved in any. Actually, we're in the next door neighbors, the young couple next door. They're our pod.
Yeah, we're friends with the next door neighbors.
I see them all the time.
They're cool.
We went out to dinner. Joe bought them dinner.
I bought them dinner one time.
Really?
Yeah, and then we also are friends with the people that live on the other, there's another road.
We are?
Remember they came to the murder mystery?
Oh, yeah.
They have the same name as you and your brother.
Right.
Katie?
Yes. We're best friends.
Well, they
there
did come
go.
To, I did, here's
Katie
the thing.
Katie and Ryan?
I said, that's exactly what their name was. Yes. I said, hey, I'll leave you tickets. And whenever I say that, I do, and people never show up, but I can't not leave it just in case they do. And next thing you know, they're waving to me, and I didn't remember them.
Did they enjoy it?
Yeah.
I think they did, yeah.
Yeah, it was the Michael Jackson
fun.
One.
They seem like they get turnt.
They're big Ravens fans, and they're big partiers.
Do you decide if it's a boy or a girl?
Yeah.
You
can pick whatever dog you want.
What do you pick?
I think Katie prefers a male.
I do prefer a male. They're less territorial, but... At least they, but the only thing about females is they're not marking their territory all the time. But I'll take either one.
If you get the pick of the litter, I guess you can pick. Right?
Yeah, I'll probably pick a male.
Do you have a name?
We do. Robbie's going to hate it.
We like the dude.
Oh, that's right.
I also like people names for dogs, like Walter.
Walter's the name of the other guy in the
and
Big Lebowski.
Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin.
Tawana and I are considering, because, you know, it took her a long time to get over the death of Heathcliff, mm-hmm. her cat of 17 years. So we are considering getting a cat, and I have the name that I chose that she likes is a Fernando, F-U-R, the spelling.
No, like,
I like that.
Yes. A pun.
Yeah. It's like Malcolm X.
Yes. So if we get a cat, it'll be named Fernando.
Are you close? Cats are not a commitment.
You just go and get one.
Yeah, and you throw it in the...
Exactly. Throw it. Yeah.
Throw it on some, you know, couch.
And just lay there. Yeah. It seems an easier thing to decide.
Do you think the English Bulldog is cute?
Yeah, I do.
I see you have it up on your computer.
Yeah, no, I just had to refresh with... Yeah, I think it's an adorable dog.
I've also never met a mean one. However, in the cartoons... The bulldog's always the mean dog.
They're so sweet.
But they're not. I've never met a mean English bulldog, ever.
Tawana's a corgi fan.
We like bigger dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, this is probably the smallest dog that we are considering.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it works out for you.
Me too.
How could it not work out?
Like, I just outlined how it could.
Oh.
You mean, meet the neighbor.
I thought you meant
say some comments.
I thought you meant I hope it works out being able to get the dog.
No, the neighbor says he went to see somebody in concert. You say, that fucking loser. And then you don't get the dog.
Yeah. Robbie hasn't said anything. Robbie, are you mad?
Oh, boy.
The only thing that I approve of is the fact that you like to name dogs like people names.
It's the only thing he approves of.
I think it's bad to do business with neighbors. I think,
I didn't think of that.
Hey,
English bulldogs don't live a very long life.
When they
fart a lot.
When we got our house, Robbie looked at the garage. He goes, two cars will never fit in that garage.
I named my cat Fred. So,
that's a good.
After
name.
The guy from Limp Bizkit, we know.
Tawana and I saw A Star Is Born. We both enjoyed it very much.
That's good, right?
Yeah, I don't think Robbie will like it.
You don't?
No.
Well, he's also
set himself up to.
Yeah,
not like
it's tough for Robbie to. He's gonna be. It's gonna be difficult for him to pry himself away from his own opinion.
Well, I don't think it's as universally loved as that we thought it would be. I mean, we were with Sean Gabbard. He said he went with a bunch of people. It was mixed there.
I think they're just all being it. Yeah, they're being haters.
Well,
I don't think that's what Robbie is.
No. Yeah, when you think. I hate the term hater because they always apply it to you. You aren't allowed to dislike anything.
I hear the term hater with a D after Bill Hader.
But Robbie is the definition.
Yes, he is.
Of what that is. He hasn't seen it. Rob, by the way, that's not uncommon. Robbie does that a lot where he forms an opinion and then, like Birdman's a perfect example, he hadn't seen it. And he got violently angry about it.
Yes. But... When we saw it, it was a Friday night. It was like 10 o'clock. It was only six people in the theater. So that's not a good sign. Second weekend.
I don't know.
I guess it's not a big... It's no Venom.
Where did you see it?
Well, it was second...
Columbia, Maryland.
It made $30 million, in its second week. That's pretty good. So I don't know. But here's the thing. This is a much better indicator, we've talked about this before, than you talking to one person. But 84% of the people from the audience that see it like it.
I've just seen a lot on Facebook, people saying,
But again, this is
thousands of people. That's because of the hype, though. I mean, it is.
Right.
But you can't go with a sample size. You can't go with a sample size of, however you have.
That's how I decide things, Joe.
Well, no. You take thousands of people, 84% of them think it's a good
movie. I bet you most people will think, the audience score might be higher for First Man, which we just saw on Friday.
Yeah, First Man's really a great
film.
There
wasn't a ton of hype around it, and it was amazing.
So, Tawanda is always saying what we want to do, and we should do this and do that, and we need to go there. What do you think she said to me 5 minutes into A Star Is Born? Literally 5 minutes in.
We need
to do this.
Karaoke?
Learn how to play guitar.
We need to see the Streisand version. I'm like, can we at least get through this one?
I'm not sure.
5 minutes in.
Did you say, I wish need wasn't what you said in there?
But she was already just ready to... I like it enough already that we need to see the one 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's interesting. It wasn't even 30 years ago. It's 35, right?
Yeah, 76, so yeah.
30. No, at 32. Is that my... No, it's more than that. It's
40 years. Right?
It's 40 years ago.
Yeah.
I wasn't alive.
That is... It's weird. I might have said this already in enough Star Is Born talk, but they've done it four times.
Yes.
This one, the two that have been in my lifetime... are the longest distance between two remakes of this movie.
Do you think they will do it again?
Well, yeah, mathematically they have to do it again, right?
Well, not to give too much away, but I think in like 40 years from now, like maybe there'll just be a pill that somebody takes to rid them of their drug and alcohol disease. They won't even be a thing anymore.
It won't exist.
Right. It won't be...
It doesn't mean they won't make movies about it, though.
You also have to want to take the pill.
We have movies that are in a setting... 50 years ago all the time, right?
Yeah, but we talk... that's true. They can just go back. She's 100% correct. They can just...
Take her side, fine.
Well, she's right. They can set it back in time, and then that pill doesn't exist.
Okay.
I just want to take another look at you.
By the way, how many people, if there was a pill that could end your, addiction to heroin, would take it?
Dude, I would do heroin every day and then take it.
You would? Where would you go to get the heroin?
I don't know. I just feel like heroin, if it's not addictive, it's probably good.
Yeah, that's the better question. Would you then try heroin?
I would.
Yes,
100%.
Because I watch Intervention, and these people are, losing their families just to do this drug.
Sell their homes to buy heroin, whatever they have.
If you're a guy, you 100% would immediately start blowing people to get heroin.
Would you take a pill to make you not want to eat? Sweet sugar in it.
Oh my God, yes. I wish that existed this very moment. Yeah, I love it. I was sitting there thinking yesterday because we went over to eat at Katie's parents' house. And I'm like, I got to stop putting shit in my body. I got to stop doing this.
Yeah.
And then we're there, and I'm like, all right, so I'm going to eat, and I'll eat, and I ate chicken chili, which wasn't horrible for you, right? It was chicken. It was white.
Yeah, it was
so
a healthier chili.
Healthy. And then I ate some cheese. I didn't eat any crackers. And then they're like, hey, we got this rice pudding. And I'm like, never had it. And then I go, let me taste it. And I taste it, and I end up eating two bowls of it.
See, the thing is, I always, and I talked with Marianne on this on the radio last week, I need something to look forward to ingest.
Well,
either
yeah,
alcohol.
We're so
food,
motivated
sweets.
By food. We are like we as a country are motivated by
well, but
food
us in this house
sex.
Are
yes.
right. So it's funny. Marianne Ann and I had the exact same conversation because she was getting ready to go to Rochester, and she goes, "Oh, I'm really looking forward to this because we eat snacks when we go to Rochester." So there what she's go. Really saying is, I don't eat snacks, and she's
right.
also thin, right? So I go, really, what are you going to do? She goes, I get Chex Mix. I'm like, I'll probably eat nine Chex Mix in the next 2 days.
But do you agree that we probably have a more fun life?
Yes. And I say this all the time. A lot of my pleasure is arrived at through consuming shitty food. Not shitty yeah. food. Food is bad for you. I do. I love it. But, you know, I'm getting married. I need to lose weight. By the way, people who haven't seen me, they probably think I'm not fat. I'm just, you know, I don't want to.
Sure, you want to look your best.
I want to look my best,
the
right?
The best you can.
Well,
realistically.
I see former landlord Dave, who's thin. He's also smaller, but I want to wear clothes the way he wears it. That's what I want to do.
He's a hip guy,
but it's because he's thin.
Yeah,
and he gets away with wearing whatever the hell he wants.
He
I can't do
it.
That. Yeah, I'm not able to do that. He's wearing white pants. I can't do that. If I was thin, maybe I could.
Well, all these new restaurants have opened up right by Columbia Mall, which is a mile and a half or 2 miles from where we live. And we went to Bonchon. That's what it's called, right, Robbie?
Bonchon, yeah.
Yes. So we walk out of Bonchon. It's good. And then we're like, "What's is that a Cold Stone Creamery? Like, where did that come from?" So then we go there, and now I always want to go to Bonchon because I know that after that, we're just going to go there.
Have you eaten the ice cream where they spread it over that? What's it called?
An anti-griddle.
An anti-griddle. And then they just keep spreading it out, and then they take a spatula.
That's
and they
what Cold Stone
and they, no,
no.
Not, they roll it up. They do that at Cold Stone, but then they roll
yes.
it.
We have a new one at Potomac Mills. I've seen it.
There's no way that ice cream is better than any other ice cream, but you want them to roll it up. So
seems
you probably
like a
pay.
Lot of work.
It is
work
a lot
there.
Of work. Hey. Two times, Katie and I have watched the people that spread it out on the anti-griddle and roll it up.
I have seen that now. Katie's showing me a video.
And both times, they gave us dirty looks. Like, how dare you watch us do this and not buy anything?
I'm like, that's the point. It's the gimmick.
Yes, it is. They're out
do
there for you,
you
to watch.
Do you create your own combination, or do you go with one of the the ones they've already...
Recipes,
yes.
I'm not buying that shit. No, we have never bought it. We just watched.
You never went to Cold Stone in your life?
No. Well, I've been to Cold Stone. Oh, I thought you were talking about the roll-up.
Same thing, though. But they usually
I like the
put
peanut butter cup perfection.
I go with Cookie Don't You Know or something like that. Or.
Rob, reason, you know that they have ice cream in Bonchon.
I do not know that. No.
Yes. You have to check that out.
Okay.
The reason that Katie and I haven't gotten that rolled-up ice cream is whenever we've seen it, we were getting ready to go to the movies, and if we're going to eat crap, we're going to eat the popcorn at the movies.
Is that you're always getting popcorn?
We do.
Yeah.
Popcorn, yeah.
We rarely get popcorn.
What, do you get nothing?
Usually nothing. Sometimes, like, the little pretzel bites.
Really?
And they, one of those slurpy kind of thing. Like, but usually nothing.
Have you ever gotten food at I'm talking about, like a hot dog or a hamburger or
I
a pizza.
I had chicken tenders one time, and they're shit.
Yeah,
well,
probably
yeah.
gotten a hot dog. Probably gotten nachos. Does that count?
Yeah, it definitely does. Yeah. I don't think I've ever gotten food one time. This was so obnoxious. At the Cinemark. By the way, did I tell you we broke up with MoviePass? We're done.
Oh, my God. Are you okay?
Well, they changed so much, they're not what they were.
Yeah.
So now
I'm glad we never dated.
We belong to this the Cinemark one. It's actually similar to what MoviePass used to be.
Okay.
You also get a discount on your, thank you, concessions. Anyway, they sell ice cream at this movie theater. Okay?
That sounds good.
And
yeah, like hand-dipped ice cream.
And I got a large... And it was the most obnoxious. It was large, only that big, but they took and they just shoved it in. It must have been, what do you think, it was a quarter of a gallon that
yeah,
they put in there?
It was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
Well, we only go to 4 movies a year, so maybe if we went to more, we would work in the concession game. You guys are the professionals.
So in chat real quick. Do you mind if I jump onto this?
I don't mind, Joe.
Miggity Mac said Gramps got a new delivery. Actually, maybe I shouldn't say this, but Mac sent something to Gramps. And what we found out recently was that Gramps and Mac are talking on the telephone.
Yeah. Mac posted on Facebook that he just got a phone call from Gramps. And
he said the great Rob Robinson.
The great Rob Robinson, yes. So let's take a break. When we come back, we will speculate what exactly did they talk about and how that conversation went down. Rob and Joe, be right back.
Las Vegas has it all. Lights, gambling, big-time action, and on November 3rd, murder. More Broadcasting and Die Laughing Productions presents Back to the 80s, an interactive live comedy whodunit that goes back in time. Saturday, November 3rd at the Council Chambers Theater in the Zappos Corporate Center. Starring 98 Rock's Justin Schlegel, Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak, Eric Woodworth, Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, special guest star Mike O'Mara, and you. Tickets are just $35 and are on sale now at MikeO'MaraShow.com and at Die Laughing Productions. That's Back to the 80s. Saturday, November 3rd at 8 o'clock in the Zappos Corporate Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. Murder has never been this funny.
Shaka Khan. 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 Let me rock another feel for you. Shaka Khan. But you tell me what you wanna do. Do you feel for me the way I feel for you? Shaka Khan. Let me tell you what I wanna do. I wanna love you, wanna hug you, wanna squeeze you too. Let me take it in my arms, let me feel you with my charm. Shaka. Cause you know that I'm the one to keep you warm. Shaka Khan. I'm making more than just a physical dream. I wanna rock Shaka. It, baby, that you make me wanna scream. Let me rock it, rock it.
I
want that. Can I have that?
Sure. Oh, that's so hilarious.
That's so good. That's because that's when I asked you about Ain't Nobody. Was that how that came from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's because a Shaka you said
Khan
it.
Song. Yeah.
You said it just like in the song. You said Shaka Khan.
Just so you'll know, Robbie, when you say you're busy, those things aren't necessary. I love them.
No,
but
they are necessary. Do you know who wrote that song?
Yeah, Prince, right?
Yes, yes. That part about Shaka Khan isn't in it, but...
Oh, I thought you wrote it.
Yes, I wrote that. So, all right, do we think that... I guess we're guessing that Gramps called Mac, that Mac sent him something, and in that package was his Mac's phone number, maybe? And then Gramps called to say thank you? Is that what we're theorizing?
Well, they love each other.
They do.
So I'll bet you they just reached out on Facebook or on Twitter.
Does Gramps know how to do that? How to do a direct message?
God, I hope not. He'd probably be direct messaging Walker Hayes all day.
We'll get to that.
So I think Gramps does know how to do a direct message. And maybe there was something they needed to coordinate, so he gave him his number. And, you know, my dad isn't a texter. He texts me every once in a while, and every time he texts me, he puts at the end, Dad. I go, Dad, your number's in my phone. You're my father. You don't even put Dad at the end of everything.
Do you think when he called Mac, did he say that this is Gramps or this is Rob Robinson?
I bet he said Gramps.
I bet he said both.
This
from
is
the
Gramps,
Robin
Rob Joe
show. This is Joe Robinson, Robbie Robinson's father.
Mac says in chat, Gramps doesn't get enough credit. Credit for what? I mean, I'll give him credit. He's great when he does the reads and the poems. His stories are great. Like, what kind of credit does he need to get?
All right, let's guess. Robbie, do you have a different theory on how this phone call went down?
Are you asking what was the purpose of it?
How did it just come about?
I think Gramps has Mac's number in his phone.
But we need to know how that happened.
Or
yeah.
Was it like a plan? Was Mac just sitting at home having dinner with his family and Mac, the phone rings?
It's Gramps. Yes. Just want to know what's going on. How you
100%.
Doing?
100%. My dad said, I think I'm just going to call him and say thank you for this package.
Okay. How long do you think the conversation lasted?
Hour.
An hour. I bet it was, no, I bet it was less than 15 minutes.
We know 15 minutes is incredible. You and I talk all the time. We don't talk for 15 minutes.
It's a long time. Yeah,
yeah, it's not 15 minutes.
Over under 5.5 minutes.
Over.
Yeah, over.
All right.
Because they
definitely
both want to be on the phone with each other.
Well, but Mac has his wife and kids. He might have things to do.
But Gramps has nothing to do.
Exactly.
So he can just hit pause on his crime show and then just, you know.
Do you think this was the first time they've spoken on the phone?
I have an answer. Max says more than 15, probably less than an hour. 15 minutes is a long time. That's one quarter of
the time. 25 minutes or half an hour.
Jeez. Hey, Max says, it felt like seconds.
Have they been texting? Do you think that's happened now?
100%.
Mac probably more than Gramps with the text because he's more savvy to the technology. But Gramps always responds.
Does he end each text with dad?
Do you think Gramps knows the names of Mac's wife and kids?
Good question.
He probably doesn't remember if he was told them. He probably forgot.
Let's see. We'll just wait and see if he types them in chat. Now, Mac, don't be hurt if he doesn't remember. That's, you know.
Yes. I
mean, that's more his age.
He's most likely to know your wife's name because he's been texting her as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying that I'll bet that he doesn't.
I bet that he doesn't either.
By the way, is Mac going to be upset if he doesn't know his kids? He says, Max says he does. Their picture is on the wall.
Like, I don't know the names of, like, a lot of my friends' kids. Like, do you know Danny Rouillet's kids' names?
I don't.
See, we're bad friends.
You remembered the wife's name. Dad did.
Of course he did. Of course, that was a no-brainer. Well, we're happy that those two have connected.
Everyone in the murder mystery, I know their kids' names.
Sean's kid's name.
Oh, Sean.
I know Sean's kid's name.
What is it?
Fucker.
It's Leo.
That's right. We were together when we were in Jordan when he told us what the name was going to be. We had 1,000 guesses. We never got it.
I can't say Eric Woodsworth's kid's names because I can't even say his wife's name. So I know I can't say his kid's name. I can certainly say his brother Jeremy's name.
I love
name,
his
though.
Kid's names. They're the cutest.
They are. It's an adorable family. So in other Gramps news, Walker Hayes, who is a comedian, actress, D.C., New York.
And I cannot stress enough that I don't know her.
You've met her once in
passing. I met her one time in passing. I may have spoken to her for 30 seconds. Yes. My father is under the impression that if someone's a comedian, they're like, you know, my son's Joe Robinson. They don't give a shit. They don't know.
So somehow Gramps and her became Facebook friends.
Well, not somehow. That happened through me.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she didn't have to accept it, but she just saw this old man and said yes.
Well, she's probably like, oh, Joe Robinson's a local comedian. His father wants to befriend me.
There's no way she knew that was just when she accepted it, your father. She just accepted it.
Yeah, she probably just accepted it.
A mistake, probably.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, is it a mistake?
Well,
I don't know.
She's a comic. She probably wants as many people to be her friend as possible.
Maybe she didn't know what she was in for.
She didn't. So she posted the other day, said hi to my neighbor as I was leaving my place, and he kind of waved, then ran inside unusually quickly. I looked down to see that every button on my shirt had popped open when I pulled my purse across my body. I guess what I'm saying is my neighbor just saw me topless, so who has a room to rent because it's time to move?
Humble brag.
And comment left by one, Rob Robinson Gramps, you can become my neighbor, and I will wait for the experience. She didn't like it.
Well, of course not. It's been
11 hours.
The story was, and I don't want to get into the motivation behind the story. The story was that she did not mean to show her body to her neighbor, and because she did, she had to move. That's the joke, or the idea.
Yes.
Gramps comes in and says, I want to see your tits.
Yep.
That's what he's saying.
Yep. Totally. That's
and it wasn't liked by her, correct?
No. Mm-hmm. Or by anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I should
but
like
she didn't
it,
delete
though.
It.
No, she didn't delete it. But she's responded in the past to him. So
I think she's probably like, I wonder if I should stop doing this.
good job, Gramps. It's probably the whitest girl that he hits on, usually in Baltimore. So it's
not his type.
Right. He has a different strategy. How's it going with him and Brittany in the chat?
They're not talking anymore.
They broke up. I was on Doug Loves Movies again, Doug Benson's podcast. Recorded a live taping of it Sunday at the DC Improv sold out show. By the time you hear this, it'll be up on iTunes, Stitcher, all the things, the ways you listen.
Did you perform at the show, Rob?
I'm on the show.
When he... Your... No. I'm not talking about the podcast. I'm talking about when he was... Yeah, the stand-up.
No, I was not on the stand-up show.
Okay.
Just curious. So, you know, he doesn't list who the guests are. He doesn't post it or anything. But, you know, I saw who was at the club that weekend, and it was Andy Haynes was featuring for Dave Attell.
I didn't know that.
Right. So I know Andy, and I figure Andy probably knows Doug, and this seems like it would be something that Andy would be on. So I guess pretty sure Andy's going to be on it. And I wonder, will Dave Attell be on it? Dave Attell is, you know, is a legend, too strong of a word. He's a pretty well-known comedian.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a legend, but he's up there in terms of on the short list of comedians everyone knows.
Yes, and especially comics. Yes. Adore. And I'm thinking, I mean, I'm sure Doug knows Dave. He knows everybody. But it doesn't seem like a thing Dave would do. You know, it's just, you don't get paid or anything. And he's, you know, he's working that night and he's working all weekend. Is he going to want to come early to the club and do this? So I show up, and as Andy was there, this guy, Doogie, who I just met, and then, boom, Dave Attell walks in. I'm like, sweet, Dave Attell is on the show. And it was cool because the way we were sitting on stage, it was Doug, Doogie, Andy, then me and Dave at the end. So me and Dave were almost having our own little private show to ourselves.
So there were five people on?
5 people on.
Okay.
And it was hilarious. And Dave was freaking fantastic. I mean, not that you wouldn't think he would be, but he was super cool and nice and just couldn't have been more pleasant to be around.
Yeah, you know, I was on, I did a show with him one time back maybe 10 years ago. But
right.
Recently, I mean, it was probably within the last year, maybe 2 years, he was on JSS when I was on.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah. Not just good, though. Cool. When the mics were off,
yes.
I still liked that he was there.
Yeah, he was so cool. And I mean, the whole show was great. I thought it's fantastic. So check it out, Doug Loves Movies. The thing they do at the end, The Last Man Standing, someone in the audience names an actor. Sometimes they do two. And then you just keep listing movies. So Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, man.
And then they added Tim Burton for directing, just the things he did.
Oh, I think I could go forever.
Yeah. I won't say how I did, but I feel like I counted myself well.
Did Chaplin get mentioned in the Robert Downey Jr. movies?
You know what? I don't think it did, actually.
Did the movie where him and Zach Galifianakis are going across the country, did that road trip or whatever the hell it was called?
That did get mentioned. I will say this.
Did the judge get mentioned?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Did Ed Wood Zero get mentioned?
Yeah, I mentioned that.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes. I had some deep cuts, actually. I did pretty well. You know what? I got tripped on one because you have to have the exact title. So Avengers 2 does not count.
Age of Voltron, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to get the exact title. But check it out on, I'm sure it'll be up by the time you listen. It was super crazy. Lots of fun. I'll be in Albany this week. Keckner is doing a commercial. Look for him as in a Hardee's commercial.
Oh, he's not the Colonel?
Not the Colonel.
He'd be good at that.
He would be good at that. Yeah, he would be.
They get some huge names.
But, Rob Riggle did it, and he's buddies with him.
And he's as big as Rob Riggle.
Riggle's probably past him now, but yeah.
They have George Costanza now.
Yeah, yeah. So
who's the biggest name they've gotten is Colonel Sanders?
Probably George Costanza.
I can't remember Jason Alexander.
Jason Alexander, yes.
Is that the biggest
name? Norm MacDonald in my book.
Well, he's not, yes, but he's not bigger than Jason Alexander. Robbie?
Right now he is. Jason Alexander's not working.
Robbie,
right now.
I know that but he was on Seinfeld. He's not. Are you even making an argument that Norm MacDonald is bigger than Jason Alexander? No one thinks that.
Jason Alexander is more famous, but right now, Norm's career is going better. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, but there's...
Well, first of all, it's not.
Okay.
It's not going better.
Because he's on Seinfeld airs every day.
Yes, every day, and he has $1 billion.
That's fair.
George Costanza is in the short list of greatest TV characters of all time. I mean,
I think he's number one.
Yeah, he's clearly in the top 10.
He's doing a bunch of commercials and stuff now, isn't he?
Yeah, he we were just talking about that. He's Colonel Sanders.
Oh, that's what he is.
Yes. I don't know. Keckner might still be ahead of Riggle. I don't know. Anyway, so he can't do the Friday. I'm headlining Friday, and then we're featuring. I'm featuring for him on Saturday and Sunday, is the point of that story. Hey, shout out to one Katie Push. She had her biggest role she's ever had in our murder mystery. It's of all the roles, it's one of our. It's got a lot of lines, actually. It's a pretty big role.
It's a huge role.
Yeah, it's a very.
I don't want to give anything away, but very. It's second most important role maybe second or third.
It's the role that I think it's the second most.
It's pivotal.
It's pivotal. Well, the point is that she crushed it. So give it up
for Katie.
Thank you.
And you know what? You didn't seem nervous at all.
Yeah, I noticed that. Now, let me talk about that real quick. So, and without giving anything away, you have to kind of make a one-sided phone call at the beginning. You have to do it four times. And my worry is that she's going to be too fast because, you know, when you've never done anything like that before, you get a little nervous.
You speak faster.
And you speak faster. Every single time she spoke like she was having a real conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure that I would have done that.
No, I thought, and then there was a moment in the show where, like, I thought something got lost in translation because of just the how it went down. And so it wasn't clear to some people how Katie should be reacting to this news. But because of her facial expressions and the way she just acted, they picked up on what was going on. Because I literally heard her saying, oh, she's mad because of that. Because just your facial expressions and your shrugs and whatnot. So kudos.
Thanks, guys. I think I've seen enough of them at this point to try to know how to do it.
Well, you do totally have the sensibility of it down. And we had two sold-out shows. Shout out to the Bright Box in Winchester, one of our favorite venues. Oh,
I love it there.
We were even talking about, you know, because I was talking to Josh, the guy who runs the club, and I go, you think maybe we should do a third show? And he said, well, because they did have to turn people away.
Yes.
What about Friday and Saturday?
Maybe. But what he said, and we all, maybe as we get closer, we'll figure it out. Maybe we can add a show if it starts selling. But as a matter of fact, if you're out there and listening and you're from Winchester, buy your tickets early and that'll help us add a show
December
if we need to do
8th,
it.
December 8th, next show, Merry Murder Mystery.
But what he likes the idea of you maybe, no, I can't get tickets to this. And that having, creating some sort of allure.
I agree with that. Yeah, but we are trending in the right direction, so maybe we'll get to that point. But there was a moment in the late show where we had, you know, people get sat together, and you don't know if they're friends, they came together, or they're just two couples that happen to be sharing a foretop. So there was a guy in the audience, it was right from the beginning, was kind of yelling out shit. Not rude, just drunk, harmless, but just obnoxious.
Before the show, he approached me. He goes, hey, he knew who I was.
Okay.
So now you know, guy, right? He's a huge 98 Rock fan. How long has he been listening to 98 Rock? Would you like to guess?
20 years.
40 years.
Okay.
So he's like, yeah, remember KML? I go, yeah, I remember. For those listeners who aren't in this area, KML is Kirk, Mark, and Lopez. Kirk is who I do the Ravens pregame with. But yes,
Lopez
of course.
Is dead.
He's dead. That's correct.
Yep.
How does Katie know that?
Katie's a P1.
She knows. She knows all about it. So this guy had a part, and he struggled with reading.
He struggled a lot.
Yeah. So Justin was just shitting on him, making fun of him, and it was hilarious.
Well, let me say this about that. When he started walking up to him, I left to do something. I don't remember what it was. I was gone for a little while. I came back. He was still dealing with this guy. He must have been dealing with this particular guy for about 10 minutes. That's a lot for the show to just to deal with one guy.
So this is an older white guy. Next to him was this a much younger black guy with this very shiny shirt with all these sparkle things on it. It was a loud shirt.
And that guy was loving the show.
Yes.
Well, they both were, clearly. But that guy, guys, I always watch to see, and we can talk about this later because there was a table of two. They weren't laughing, but everybody else was screaming laughing.
Yeah. Well, there was normally, well, we have a green room, and normally, well, there is a bathroom there, and normally it works, but for whatever reason, it was non-functioning. So I had to go, you know, with the regular folk, go wait in line upstairs. So in our long intermission, I'm in line with that black guy, and he's like, man, that guy, he was fucking with him so good.
He loved it.
Yeah. That guy's a douchebag, that entitled piece of shit. I'm glad he was fucking with him.
Oh, I didn't know that. So got a little glimpse into what was going to happen. Oh, okay.
But I still thought this was just his buddy that he was getting roasted, basically. And then
you thought those two knew each other?
Well, maybe. They could have worked together.
I see very few scenarios where those two people came together.
Fair enough. And then the black guy was like, you know, my girlfriend wanted me to go to this shit. I was like, I don't want to do this, but this is hilarious. So I'm like, sweet, you know?
He's like my neighbor talking about 98 Rock.
Exactly. So anyway, the third act, the final act is about to start, and I hear this commotion, and maybe you saw more than I did.
Saw it. I was literally standing in between them.
I didn't see it, so now you take over.
Yeah, well, what happened was I saw they were both sitting down facing each other, and I saw the younger black guy talking to the other guy, and I could tell, oh, he's actually really mad at this guy.
Right.
And first of all, you know what happened. This guy's so drunk that he can't control himself and he thinks he's part of the show and he's being so obnoxious. It's ruined the experience for the people at the table, but also probably some of the things that he was saying, who knows? He ends up calling him a racist, which I'll get to, but he probably said some things that made him think, all right, this guy's not just ruining my experience, but he probably has a problem with who I am.
Yes. I was on, we're all on the black guy side. Just for getting to know them as little as we did.
Yeah. So when that happens, this guy stands up and he goes, "You Donald Trump motherfucker," which is hilarious to me that now calling somebody the name of the president of the United States is the worst thing you can call somebody.
Right. Yes.
That's like calling a white guy the N-word.
Yes.
Yes.
That's funny.
But he said that and I'm like, oh, fuck. So I just kind of walked in between them because I didn't want this guy to get arrested for beating up this guy who deserved to be beat up. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Katie also shot me a look like, get out of there.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing? Just
well, no, I wasn't trying to do anything other than making sure that this guy who I had sympathy for didn't beat up this guy that I didn't have sympathy
and
for.
And this place doesn't even have a bouncer. They don't have fights, so we didn't want it to happen on our show.
The bartender, and I wish I could remember her name, but she came up and she goes, "Do you think I should throw him out?"
She's too hot
Amy.
For me to not.
Amy.
Okay. Amy. Gotcha.
I said, no, but if you want me to, I'll throw him out. But no, I didn't want her to have to throw this guy out. You know, I mean, he was obviously going to be a problem. If he's willing to create a problem with this guy who could clearly beat the shit out of him, he's not going to allow this 98-pound girl to throw him out of the club. But the thing is, this guy, here's how affected he was by what happened, which was, well, two things. I'm going to go back. This show was so fucking, we were crushing so hard that there was a fight in the middle of the show and no one gave a shit. Everybody went right back to laughing. Everybody went right back to enjoying themselves. But then this guy, I don't know, he just took a fucking phone call. The guy who almost got beat up.
But that was good for us.
So I walked over and I said, you know, dude, come, you can't make this call in here. So he loves 98 Rock. It's, you know, I'm from 98 Rock. He respectfully, this guy who was the most obnoxious dick that existed ever in any of our shows, was like, oh, cool. He walks out and he has this phone conversation in the lobby. Now, that girl thought I threw him out.
The bartender, Amy?
Yeah.
Which made you seem like a stud.
Well, yeah, but then he walked back in and she's like, what's going on? Now, luckily, there wasn't even 5 minutes left in the show at that point and the show ended, but it's funny, I walked over, because this was during, if you've seen one of our murder mysteries, there's a part in every show where we walk around, we answer questions.
Yes.
And this was that part. And I walked over, and there was another couple, another black couple, they were like, yeah, they wanted to go beat this guy up, too. They didn't even know what happened. And I said, well, after the show, if you could get him outside, that'd be great. But if you can just not do that while we're in here, that would be great.
There was also a couple, I mean, they were two people, they appeared to be, I'm guessing, mother-daughter.
Yeah, I was noticing the age difference.
Well, I think they were...
A couple?
Couple, yeah.
The ones on the side, not the people in the front.
The one who were not happy about it.
A couple? They looked like...
There's no way that was a mother. There's no way. That other lady was too old.
You're saying you can't get a mother from scissoring? Is that what you're saying?
Really? I thought for sure they looked like family.
I either thought they were friends or actually together, but I definitely didn't think...
I thought they were older sister, younger, or mother-daughter. Doesn't matter.
I mean, it could have been older sister, younger, but I don't think it was mother-daughter.
If you've been to one of our murder mysteries, you know, we talk about how they go a lot on here. And I know a lot of times comedians say, oh, we crush, blah, blah, blah. If you come to one of these murder mysteries, you can see what happens at them. We really destroy.
Well, you are coming. You're coming to Vegas, right, guys?
When you come, you'll see that. And if you've heard Justin Schlegel on the Mike O'Meara show, even if you don't listen to the show regularly, you can hear how he's one of the funniest guys on the planet. So we're not really used to seeing people, especially in a show where we're doing what we were doing in the late show.
And they're right up front. Everyone's
they're
laughing.
They're sitting up front. Everyone, they're not just laughing. Like, there's a table of girls right by the where we congregate before we go out.
Uh-huh.
They're crying laughing.
Yeah.
And, they're crying
and
laughing.
What were these two doing?
These two are sitting there stone-faced. They're not smiling. They're not... Here's the thing. Like, why don't you leave? But I don't know if they weren't enjoying themselves. I think they just didn't laugh.
But that's what makes me think they're related, because how could two people have that same face that they make?
Maybe they
were... Well, that's why I thought they were together. I thought they were offended by something.
Yeah, I mean, but at one point we acknowledged it. And then there was another couple that was directly across from them and said to me that they listened to the Rob and Joe show, I believe, and said, hey, thank you guys for acknowledging that, because we're staring right at them. We're like, do they not speak English? And I was like, hey, a fat guy in a Spider-Man suit's universal. You don't need to. You don't need to speak English to laugh at Eric.
Eric also bent down in his. What was he?
He was Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, and he picked up their pretzel and ate a bite of that. He picked up their pickle, like their side pickle.
But this is after they'd been laughing for an hour. So at that point,
took
we
a bite
them.
And then dropped the pickle into their cheese dip.
Well, actually, close. Because he told me what he did was he dipped, maybe it was a pretzel, but he realized he couldn't eat it because of the Spider-Man. Then he dropped it back on the, what did he drop it in? Whatever he did. He dropped it back on the table. No reaction. Nothing. Not even anger. Nothing. It was a very strange thing to see. But I wanted to come up to him afterwards and say, hey, did you enjoy the show? Because, I mean, they looked like they were going to rob us in Yelp review and like, this was highly offensive. But here's my question. Granted, there is a lot of, it's very R-rated.
Sure.
But what do you think they thought they were seeing, or what do you think they wanted to see?
I don't know, because it's not like they showed up dressed in costumes all Halloween ready. They
Any I opinion?
I swear, I don't understand it at all. So
I think they thought it was a serious drama.
Well,
I think that there's not a lot going on in Winchester, and that entire, all the whole room is the whole town. I don't know.
There were people, this is kind of crazy. There was a table, it was either of 8 or 10, and they all went to the Renaissance Festival, which is where we live.
Yeah.
So the Renaissance Festival is in Annapolis or Crownsville. So they came from where we live to drive all the way to Winchester to see that show.
Well, vice versa. They live in Winchester.
Oh, they drove?
They drove to the Renaissance Festival.
Oh, but still, okay. That's a full day, right?
No, it is, but it would be weirder if they lived in Annapolis and they went to the Winchester show.
That would be weirder, but we're glad
to have
them.
Why don't you just wait for Magoobies?
Magoobies is October 28th, and after we just got done saying how great Katie did, Marianne will replace her for that show.
Thanks, guys.
Well, Katie will be doing the improv show on Halloween night.
Yeah, it's a big one.
She's pretty happy about that because she goes,
I'm so pissed about it.
She goes, I want to hand out candy. I go, no, you'll be playing the role you played in Winchester. So
let's take a break. We'll come back and some Dan Ninen news. Rob and Joe show. Be right back.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded Sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob looped... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Shout out to Taylor Jenkins. Come to several shows. He and his wife, they'll be in Vegas. Taylor went to school with Justin Schlegel, so I got multiple connections with the show. But he posted this on our Facebook. 5 famous people who blatantly lied and barely paid for it. The cover of this is Robert Irvine, the chef from Food Network, the Restaurant Impossible guy.
I recognize him, but I don't watch his show, but I recognize him.
Apparently he's a fraud. Number 5, Senator Joseph McCarthy.
Yes, he was responsible for trying to get communism out of the United States by accusing a bunch of actors and actresses of being communists. What did he lie about?
His whole military career, essentially.
Okay.
Now, but also on this list is the head of FEMA who lied, Robert Irvine, I mentioned. And number 2 here.
Yeah, how about number 2?
A stand-up comedian made a career claiming to be a millennial is actually 56. Dan Ninen. Between 2012 and 2016, media outlets including Forbes and New York Times published interviews with a young millennial stand-up comic named Dan Ninen. He had an inspiring story. He was a successful young dude working at Intel in New York, moving up the chain at a big corporation while still having wistful dreams of pursuing a career in comedy. Then 9/11 happened, and his life changed. He took comedy seriously, worked hard at it, won a bunch of stand-up contests, and achieved his dream. But wait, no, they didn't. It's not really
well, that's
true.
The thing. I mean, I saw that. It's almost like people that's an inside joke that they threw in there to make like eight people laugh.
Right. Yes.
Because first of all, he's not famous. The only thing he's famous for is this.
Yes.
That's it. All the other people are actually famous.
Right.
Well, I'm the head of FEMA, but I mean,
but he's got a famous or an important position.
Yes. Dan Ninen, you know, my favorite thing, there's a lot of things Dan Ninen's done, but one of my favorite things is they had that, how much do people make?
Yes.
And it was Parade Magazine, which I remember reading my whole life out of the Washington Post, Parade Magazine. And I remember loving that edition or whatever.
Issue.
Issue, thanks. I remember loving that issue because I always, you know me, I always look up people's net worth. I don't know why I love that. And now I know it's just horseshit. You just say whatever you want. They don't check your W-2s or your 1099s. They don't check your tax return.
No.
You can just say whatever you want. And then Dan would falsify this so he could appear more important than he really is on the cover of Parade. And no exaggeration, I'll bet there's 100 examples of that.
Oh, easily. Easily. So he and the Restaurant Impossible guy are both in the same list as Joseph McCarthy. It's Funny Impossible was the Dan Ninen story. But it says that the Daily Beast that they uncovered that this court document, the Maryland traffic court case, that he was date of birth 1961, and then they confronted him and he doubled down saying that his birth certificate's wrong. So
yeah, he never comes clean. He never ever.
But it's working out for him, I guess.
And they even talk about how you don't want to get on his bad side or he'll make your life hell.
He will punch you.
But you know what, though? Here's the thing. It has affected his career. I mean, he really had to crawl, he had to go underground, basically. Is he still working? He doesn't brag because I think he thinks people will out him, which they will.
Well, let's go to the website. Let's see if he's got any gigs coming up.
Well, he took his website down for a while, didn't he?
Dan Ninen, 100% clean Indian comedian.
Not much has changed.
All right, Dan Ninen. Okay, shows, here we go. And,
a little dated.
You don't know what year, though. September 16 to 17, Charity Gala, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Venue to be announced.
What's his next show?
This is all going backwards. July 9th.
Oh, so nothing current.
Oh, wait, no, this is 16. The last dates were of 2016.
So he just stopped posting those. And I think he stopped posting them. By the way, it was never my goal when I started making fun of Dan to have him, to have this happen to him. I don't take a man's livelihood. But I thought some things were funny. And then he just was so ferocious. But I think that ferocity is, I mean, it definitely is his demise, right? People, they get resentful when people are that aggressive.
Well, you Google them, all this comes up. So if you're hiring somebody and you don't really know anything, you go to Google and this comes up.
It felt like the article was created around the Dan Ninen story to me.
Yeah, you're probably right. But look, he always finds a way to get himself in this. Are you upset about
Robert Irvine? I've always thought he was a dick.
You know who I don't think is a dick is Michael Chamberlain. One of our most, beloved guests or hated. I don't know.
I don't think he's one of our most beloved guests.
Oh, I love him.
He's polarizing.
Scott Apple is a beloved guest.
Fair enough. So Robbie sent me an email string here between the two of them.
So let me jump in.
You came up.
Yeah, I don't like being blindsided. When Robbie doesn't send it to me, obviously it's something super negative. Well, you don't want me to prepare my response? What's the deal, Robbie, before we get into this?
Because I think it's funnier when you don't know what the content is.
All right.
So I guess this is Mike saying, by the way, I saw Darkest Hour and really enjoyed it.
Love Darkest Hour.
Finally saw Phantom Thread, too.
I like the Phantom Thread. I liked it.
Kept thinking about Joe and if he jizzed over Danny Day.
Well, he's the best ever, Daniel Day.
Then Robbie says Joe did not rave about Phantom Thread. He compared it to Secretary.
Well, hold on. Let me jump in before you say that. I didn't rave about it. Is that what was required? And the Secretary is a better movie.
And I did not anticipate his reaction because I was simply saying that you liked it, but you just didn't go crazy about it. Mike seemed to really love it. That's all. So I said you didn't rave about it.
Did he see the movie The Secretary?
Yes, he's seen Secretary.
It's called Secretary? Yeah, that seems like a better movie to me.
I haven't seen either.
Well, you should have this debate with him directly. Again, I wasn't doing this for the air. I was just basically, it was an offhanded comment that you
right.
I could have gone into more depth, but I was just making a brief comment. I should have said, oh, he liked it. He just didn't rave about it.
Okay.
Because Mike appeared to really, really love it.
That's okay. All right. Go ahead.
So then Robbie writes, Joe just saw A Star Is Born and was raving about that. It's another controversy like Birdman. I think the trailer looks awful, but it's getting universally praised.
Yeah.
He says the best film so far this year is Eighth Grade. Chamberlain says, I knew it. I knew Joe wouldn't go with Phantom Thread. It's too good. Joe wouldn't get it or appreciate it. Lame. Tell him I said so. And you were probably right on the star, A Star Is Born. Even Moulton said it was just okay. I am losing respect for Joe quickly. He thinks he's Mr. Movies now, but all he really is Mr. Mainstream.
Well, I wouldn't consider...
like Mr. Mainstream. Hey, Mainstream.
Okay, so first of all, Eighth Grade is not... it's an independent film.
Dude,
it's not mainstream.
You're just mainstream,
all right?
Man.
The other thing is
you
I like...
Starbucks? Is that your favorite coffee in the world?
No, actually Dunkin' Donuts. It's worse. But I... A Phantom Thread, or The Phantom Thread, no, I enjoyed it. It was beautifully set. It was acted well. It was a story that I had already heard.
I don't even know what it's about.
Well, I don't want to tell you.
Good.
But... it's a story that I already heard, and I
yes,
heard
the story
it
is familiar.
Told in a much more... by the way, it's very slow, too. And, of course, Mike's going to appreciate that. I get that.
Right.
And, obviously, Daniel Day-Lewis is better than James Spader. But James Spader isn't Pauly Shore. He's not some fucking joke. He's a really good actor.
He is.
And so is Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yes.
That's who's in Secretary, and that's a really good film.
I have seen part of that. She gets naked a lot.
She's into what's it called, sadomasochism,
yep,
or what's it called?
Yes.
S&M, that's it. Sorry, but yeah, and I really liked it, but I wasn't saying I hated Phantom Thread. And of course, Robbie, I guess you didn't let that. You just let me blow in the wind out there.
I didn't really react to that. I just immediately sent it to Rob.
Well, first of all, that's an unfair statement. When I listed my top five, a lot of them were small films. Eighth Grade's number one. I had American Animals, which I loved. I had a documentary in my top five. So that's
what's your documentary?
Well, it's not in there anymore. But Would You Be My Neighbor?
Oh, that's
the Mr. Rogers. Yeah, okay. I had that, but that's been bumped out at this point.
So A Star Is Born is in your top five?
I don't. Let me tell you. Let's do it. Right. Eighth Grade is the best movie I've seen this year. I love Tully. I love The Quiet Place. First Man has probably made its way into my top five, and then fifth. You know, I have a lot of movies. Maybe I'll have to decide. A Star Is Born might be number five for me. I loved Juliet Naked with Ethan Hawke. That's another small movie.
No, these aren't. You're
wrong.
Mr. Mainstream.
He's wrong.
Look, you know what I've seen this year? Black Panther, A Quiet Place, The Mission Impossible.
And A Star Is Born.
And A Star Is Born.
Those are your top four.
Those are my top four. I'm Mr. Mainstream.
Yes, yes.
Like on a... When they asked you the last movie you saw, I'm the only one that had some mainstream huge movie.
Oh, everybody saw some cool.
Well, the
indie.
One guy just saw a double feature with a Q&A with the director afterwards of Gremlins 1 and 2. That was pretty funny.
What?
Yes.
Hold on. The same person that directed Gremlins 1 directed Gremlins 2?
I don't know if it was a director. It might have been an actor. No,
hold on. I'm looking it up.
I forget who it was.
I'm looking up. Robbie loves Gremlins because Phoebe Cates is in it.
You know what's surprising to me? The Rotten Tomatoes on the Gremlins.
Oh, it didn't get a fresh tomato?
No, they're both highly rated.
Oh, yeah. No, Gremlins was great, man. Directed by Joe Dante.
Yeah, I don't remember who he said the Q&A was with.
I mean, Gremlins was a phenomenon.
Yeah, but Gremlins 2, that also got good reviews.
It did?
Yes.
Robbie, did we see Gremlins 2?
I've seen Gremlins 2. I saw it in the theater, and I don't remember it being as memorable as the first one.
He said he didn't remember it either, but then when he saw it recently, he said it's better than he thought it was.
Robbie, are you looking at the computer?
Oh, no.
No, don't look. What's the name of Gremlins 2?
This I know, because we just
it's
talked
called
just
Gremlins
talked
2, the next batch.
I'll give it to you.
The new batch.
Yeah.
Doug Benson wouldn't give it to you.
Oh, 69%. So it barely made it over there, and then the audience gave it and this is out of 268,000 votes. We were talking about this before, 56%. So
what do you think the difference in the critics versus the audience on Venom? How many percentage points difference?
Well, Venom got pretty bad reviews. So I'll say 30.
Robbie?
The audience gave Venom 50% and the critics gave it 30%.
57 percentage point difference.
Wow.
Tomato meter, 31%. Audience, 88%.
Wow.
I've never seen a difference that big.
So,
I just don't. I haven't seen the movie, but I'm just. I don't know where that's coming from. But
Robbie, stop doing that. What is that? Stop.
I'm calling Michael.
Oh.
Oh.
Michael Chamberlain.
There's basically zero chance.
He's probably at the library.
Hello? Oh, he hung up on you.
We'll leave it at that.
On that note, hey guys, we got a lot coming up here. Magoobies, the 28th and the 31st Halloween at the Improv for Halloween Whodunit. And then we head to Las Vegas, the Mike O'Mara Show on Friday the 2nd, and then Our Murder Mystery Back to the 80s, starring us and all the guys on November 3rd. We still have some tickets left for that. Let's sell it out. Let's do this. TM West, Robin Joe, combo weekend in Las Vegas, Nevada. Later.
Later.